And that is what the march is about. So we're going to sing about serving the Lord. The longer I serve him, this is one of Harry's favorites. Let's sing it loud enough so he can hear.
Heartaches, broken peace.
Father, we pray today, Lord, that you keep your promises. We can put our full trust in you. You've never broken one. You have completed it to its complete purpose for which you gave it in the first place. May we not compromise. May we not break that promise with thee. Lord, and I pray as we go into your word, that you would take us beyond the surface into the deep riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. And I pray your blessing and anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Mary Ann saw the title of the message and said, how can you, she laughed first, of course, and then said, how can you preach this? You've never even had a child. Well, I'm a pastor, I have a few, but different kind of labor. labor pains. In our culture, New Year's Day is the beginning of hope, isn't it? And that's because people are really sick from Christmas holidays and all the food, and they kind of have a reason for seeking the Lord. But new hope, new perspective, and unfortunately, the ever-evolving new tax year. Fast forward from New Year's Day to Labor Day. Okay, 8 months. Going into the ninth month. Now, we were premature, so we were 7 weeks, 6 weeks premature. So, and that's because we wanted to be here for Christmas. I think that's the reason. I didn't get any presents anyway, so I don't know why. But at any rate, and on top of it, we had to share them with our birthday, so we grew up deprived. But anyway. From New Year's to September, the ninth month, the labor of the hope of the new year. How many, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many have felt like you've been under labor, under moaning, under pain this year? It can be physically, it can be emotional, it can be financial, it can be a number of things. I remember a friend of ours who's just a lovely lady, she's an internist, and she was talking about pregnancy, and she said, it's the only pain that has a purpose because you have a birth coming. Now, I'm going to outline in three trimesters the labor God's talking about in the scripture. First of all, labor is not in vain, although I'm sure it doesn't go fast enough for some women. And no greater sorrow than a pregnancy that ends in miscarriage or stillbirth or some kind of problem right after birth. And the body has been prepared for it. The emotions have been prepared. The financial life has been prepared. The home is prepared. And there is no child to put in that home. If you know anyone that has lost children that way, keep them especially in prayer. It is an emptiness that only God can fill. 1 Corinthians 15, great chapter. It's talking about the resurrection. That's why I love the Lord, because there's no other religion, no other belief system that captures the resurrection. They will talk about sacrifice. They'll blow themselves up on the street corner. But I can guarantee you, they're not coming back in resurrection. Resurrection is the distinction in the life of the Christian. And so here he is, the Apostle Paul, at the end of the portion. I'm not reading the whole chapter, of course. I like you better than that. Okay. But 58th verse. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you, and always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is a labor that is never in vain, even though we won't see the results of it till eternity. That's okay. At least we'll see it. People are going to walk up to you in heaven and say, you gave me that track. You gave me that New Testament. You're going to know in your spirit immediately who that is. And you're going to think to yourself, I don't even remember him. But God remembers where he places his word. God knows where he places his seed. So Paul here ends this chapter on a therefore. And you remember what therefore is there? Go check and see what the therefore is there for. He gives us, in the previous verse, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in the Bible, everything in God's work in our life is predicated on his victory. Isn't it? Now, you Vikings fans, God bless you. They're doing well so far. Hopefully the preseason will become the season. And I know you'll be very happy. But the victory's already won in Jesus Christ. We don't have to wonder how it comes out. We don't have to live our life kind of going, well, I'm not sure if I should follow him. We already know the victory is complete. We know the victor has won. And that's what he's saying here. Because of that, therefore, my dear brothers, he includes sisters, by the way, just so you know, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Why? Because when you're in the world like we are, there's a lot of things that try to unsettle you. Like when you're in an earthquake, 6.0. That's a little unsettling. They had another earthquake yesterday in the same area in Napa. I think it was like a 3.5 or something. Less than the other one, but when you've already been moving around, you get a little nervous, I would imagine. Anyway, Paul says, therefore, stand firm. This Greek word, hedraeos, means to be steadfast and firm and finished. I love the word finished. It doesn't mean you're finished. It means the devil's finished. That's what it meant when Jesus said it is finished. The other thing that finished means in the scripture is it's you're in a seated position. A seated position. Ephesians 2:6 says we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ, meaning he's already finished the work. We're just going through the motions to a sense because the real work has been finished. And I find it interesting that the way to stand firm is to be seated. But that's what it's talking about. It comes from the word hedras, which means the seat or to sit. How many know God is on the throne? He hasn't moved. He hasn't changed. Thank God. So it says here, our standing is in our being seated with him, knowing he's finished and complete the work that he promised. It says, do not move off of that space. Do not move away from it. Do you know how many people move away from the assurance in Jesus Christ? Because of the circumstances around. Don't do that. Circumstances are going to come and go. They're going to be good, then they're going to be bad. Don't change with the wind. It says, Don't get off course. Let nothing move you. This Greek word means to be immovable. Don't let it move you away from your place. Stay firm. How many of you are stubborn? Well, I'm glad you're agreeing, because I was going to just point you out, so that's good. You know, there's a time to be stubborn. You put your foot on the ground and you say, I'm not moving. I am staking my place for Jesus Christ, no matter what. And I am seated in his finished work. And here's the best part. It says, always give yourself fully to the work of God. Fully. You know what that means? Don't give part of yourself. Give all of you. That's what it means. You know, God can only multiply what we put in his hands, and if we don't put it all in his hands, he can only multiply the little bit we put. Put it all in there. See what God does. I mean, look what he did with a miter with a couple of fish and bread in the scripture. Imagine what can he do when we give him everything. He's a great multiplier. Knowing what? That your labor is not in vain. That your labor is not in vain. Labor, the Greek word kopos, it means laborious toil and trouble. It means, folks, it don't feel good. Did you know serving the Lord sometimes doesn't feel good? It's kind of like you're going down the middle of the road and you get hit from both sides. Never been in that position. You want to help, you want to do this, and this one's upset about that, that one's upset about that one. You get blasted from both ends. That's okay. God will make the difference. Comes from the word kapto, which means to strike, hit, and blow. Laborious toil. Now, obviously, labor for a child is extremely laborious, I've been told. And I know you want to be knocked out when that occurs. Or you'd like them to knock out your husband, something like that. But did you know that originally there was to be no toil, no pain with birth? It's part of the curse. It's part of the curse. After the fall, he said, you will suffer in childbirth. Probably would have been a breeze before that. And then he said, and your husband will be your leader. You will follow. That's why, ladies, make sure you follow somebody worth following. Folks. And the husband, God didn't leave him out, did he? He said, hey, guess what, Adam? The ground is cursed because of you. Every time you see sin continue to build, which we do in our day, I don't blame your husband or the men. I'm just saying that's what God said to Adam. He said, in toil and sweat, you will take care of this land. It was not meant to be so laborious. So extreme labor is because of the curse. Doesn't that sound like why we need the message of salvation out there? And do you know that's why it's so laborious? That's why prayer for souls is laborious. That's why before you go to the store to get your goods, do you have bad thoughts or do you have thoughts of you can't do that? No. But if the Lord says, I want you to witness to somebody, your thoughts are just going to be all over the place. To do God's labor is warfare. Warfare. But you know what? It's worth it. One person got saved. It's worth it. Because that soul, the Bible says, is costly. It cost him his blood. It says, knowing your labor, your laborious labor here, is not in vain. It's not in vain. The word vain, kainos, means empty in moral content, ineffective, worthless, foolish, and has no value. How many are glad your labor in Christ has value, has eternal value? I got news for you. It doesn't even keep going up and appreciating. It's already at the top. It's already excellent. The work of God will never lack moral content, because it cannot. That's God's a moral God. It will be effective. It will be everything God says. What does the Bible say? My word will not return void. You take that word of God and you share it with somebody, or you're reading it yourself, it's not going to return void. It's not going to be empty. It's not going to be ineffective. It's not going to be of no value. God's going to tuck it in. And it's like basically a seed when it goes under the ground, and we don't see it, but that which is on the outside bursts, and the inside seed goes in, and then the growth comes. You're going to have a burst in your soul, and so will other people when they come to the realization they are lost. It's just wonderful work of God. Your labor is not in vain. That child is going to come forth. That birth God has intended in your life, whatever it is. It's an answer to prayer. It's a situation, whatever it is. God's birthing something, whether it's in ministry or in private life, for the believer, God will bring it through. I was thinking this morning before Sunday school, Dean drove up and got out the little thing, and I opened the door for him. I didn't tell him this, but I was thinking about it during service. Lord, open the door into your presence, into your welcome, so he knows the love of Christ. The door has to be opened. Only God can do that. Secondly, in labor, you're not alone. You're not alone. My guess is if you're in extreme pain like you would be in labor for a birth, you would want everybody else to suffer with you. That's my feeling. Bible says, 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are co-workers with God, co-laborers. We are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. Paul is saying here that he and the servants of the Lord are God's fellow workers, and the people they're talking to are God's field and God's building. Now, I know it's real common in today's world to have birth coaches, right? Help them breathe, help them focus, you know, keep their mind focused on what is coming. It will not be forever. It is temporary. It feels forever at the time, I'm sure, but it will come forward. Co-workers. This Greek word, synergos, means a fellow worker, associate, and helper. Guess what, folks? We're the associate. God is the worker. He's the one that does it. I don't know about you, but that gives me great hope, because I cannot convince, debate, love somebody into the kingdom of God. All the expressions of love I've ever given, I know that they're meaningful, I hope. I also know they're temporary. They cannot change the heart of people, but God's word can. God's purpose will. His work will do that, and so much more. This word broken down means soon, means with or together with, and to be in association with. And ergon means works, labor, action, and deed. How many are glad that God's there? I'm so glad that we're co-laborers with him. How many have ever had a co-worker that just drove you nuts? I mean, not only did they not help, they actually got in the way. You just want to pick them up, put them in a corner, give them a Tootsie Roll, and leave them there, because they're not helping. God might think about us like that on occasion, I'm sure. If he's going to give me a Tootsie Roll, that's okay, I like him. But we're an associate of his. It's not the other way around. God is not our assistant. And unfortunately, I think a lot of times we treat him like that. God, go do this for me. God, will you go pick up my clothes? Will you do this? No, he's the Lord, Master Almighty. He's the one who tells us what to do. and he gives us the strength to do it. We are co-workers with him. We are his field, where he does the work. This Greek word means cultivation, filled the tilled field, and the husbandry. Let me tell you something. This is a rule of Scripture. God touches you first before you touch someone else. I can't tell you the ministers I've heard that have said, I didn't read the Bible. They're reading it to impress. They're reading it perhaps to bless. But if it hasn't touched them first, there is no life. There's nothing. This principle is this. Before it's transmitted, it has to be transmitted in us. I always say this, and it's the truth. Never talk about God unless you've talked to him. Always. Him first, right? Why? Because then you can honestly say, hey, listen, the Lord did it in my life. I know it's real. I know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like when people say, well, how do you know? You've never been married. Well, that's true, but I've observed quite a few. And what I do know, I can tell you this much. And what I don't know, I can learn from the Lord who created it. God's building. We are his building. He's not a slum landlord, by the way. He takes care of his property. Brick by brick, he's working through all of us to the degree we allow him to, actually. The Greek word oikodom, it means a building, an edifice that is serving as a home, as a place of residence. Of residence. You know that the Queen of England, when she's in presence at Buckingham Palace or any place, the flag flies all the way up. That's how you can tell the sovereign is in the house. Our flag should be up all the time because he's in the king. He is, hopefully, dwelling in us. Comes through the word oikos, which means a house, a dwelling. And doma means a rooftop. Remember, I was talking about Peter a couple weeks ago. He went up to the rooftop and had a dream, a vision. And what they would do, they had the flat roofs so they could talk from house to house. They didn't need a megaphone. They didn't need a cell phone. They didn't need to text. They would just talk. Always reminds me of 101 Dalmatians, when the dogs go up the thing and no one else knows, and they understand that and go, and it just kills me. But we go up to the roof. Hey, we're at the building, the house. He should be talking to us, and we should be listening to him. That's part of the whole idea here. But in birth, in labor, we're not alone. It has to be very horrible for a woman to be alone on a desert road without any help, any assistance. The fear alone would be difficult. I'm glad the Lord travels well. He's with us. Thirdly, God will birth his will. Turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. Great chapter. Love this portion. Did you know that the earth that we are standing on and that we are enveloped in actually is groaning? If you could hear it, you would hear the earth that God created understand that it's being spit upon. God, its creator, is being defied, and the earth would be screaming its lungs out if we could hear it. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. The whole creation is crying, is moaning. That's what a word means here, so stenazo, means to moan, to groan, and experience a common calamity together. When you see the rumbling along the ring of fire, all the volcanoes, the earthquakes, the earth is trying to say something. It's saying, help! They've broken your law. They have disregarded who you are. Something is coming, a birth is coming, and I can feel the pain. I can't tell you, but I know it's there. And the earth feels it. It says it's travailing. That Greek word means to travail together. It's basically the same word, but a little different meaning, having birth pangs, to suffer them, and to deliver. They're suffering the pains of a coming birth. And it says, and we ourselves are too. You ever sense in your spirit, you just go, I know something's coming, I can't identify it, but you know it's coming? I can guarantee you that any pain and any groaning and any suffering that we are not only individually experiencing, but as a church, when God is bringing something to the church, it will be collectively. We will feel the moaning in our spirit. We will feel the need of prayer, which we have for a long time. And there is a groaning unto revival. There's a moaning unto God's presence. We can tell that God is birthing something. And the process is what? Painful. Absolutely painful. Why? Because of sin. Because it's under the curse. Because God wants people to come to Him. But it says here, we ourselves first fruits of the Spirit. First fruits means this. It was a feast. It reminds us of the great resurrection of Jesus Christ, that He rose from the dead. He's the firstborn of the dead. And we follow with. We're the next part of that great harvest. And it says, we will receive adoption as sons. In the Greek, it means sons and daughters. Adoption. Maria knows about that, so does Susan. Adoption. Guess what, folks? The papers have already been drafted. The covenant has already been enacted. The blood of Christ has signed the certificate. One thing is left for the full redemption of the body. Know what that is? Jesus is coming again to redeem her. They drafted paperwork a few years ago. 20-some years ago. It was all legal, but Duane and Dixie had to go pick her up, right? And bring that little bundle of joy over here, for which we are eternally grateful. This wonderful heirship, which is what it's talking about, to place legally. God did it legally. He did it. He paid the price for His own creation sin, and He gave us a new life. And we're awaiting that redemption. And part of the word for redemption, which you know it means to buy back, dixamai, means to welcome. We're looking away from this world, and we're looking unto His world. The redemption of the body of Christ as a whole, to be bought back and brought in. That's the birth. That's the labor. And I got news for you. There are people that the Lord still wants to reach to be a part of the body. That's why the burden is still there. That's why the birth has not completed itself. That's why we still pray and witness and share, because people are lost. And until they know they're lost, they won't know how to be found. 9 months, and there's a birth. I don't know exactly how that birth will exhibit itself in this church, but I know one thing. I've seen the bud of real life in the lives of the people. You cannot manufacture that. You cannot put a formula on that. You cannot orchestrate that. Only the Holy Spirit can. And I'm grateful for it because we're co-laborers with Him. We're His associates. We're not the one really doing the work. He's doing it. How many believe that God's birthing something? Stay in prayer, folks. Stay in forgiveness. Stay in the Word of God. That's where we need to be. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today. Lord, this earth is exploding, really, as we sit here. It has broken out of its foundations. It has laid beside any standard at all. It has dug deep into the muck and mire that this world prefers. And it is drinking from the fountain of slew and garbage and not the pure life of Jesus Christ. This earth was created by God, and anything that is having any work in it will upset the balance of this earth and the world as which we know it. Father, we pray that you would birth in each of us a greater knowledge of who you are, first of all. Secondly, a desire to follow you without question. To remember you're the boss, not we. And to know, Lord Jesus, that collectively, as well as individually, we look forward to that birth that you are bringing, the victory only you can give, and the redemption, ultimately, of the body of Christ. God, we pray for those today that are not yet part of the fold, that you would bring them, that you would save them, that you'd bring them to life. And we're so grateful you brought us. You are the one that found us. We did not find you. So, Lord, I pray you would honor your word in our soul. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. As we close, if you sense a desire just to give yourself to the Lord 100%, and you haven't, or you'd like to do it again, come up here and stand. But we'll sing, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Please stand.
Flood the nations. ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Shine, Jesus, shine.
I'm going to ask Gary to come up and to close in prayer.
Shall we bow in prayer? Father, we are so deeply touched by your word this morning and by the call on our lives. I want to thank you, God, this morning for being able to come to a church like this and hear the message, to sing these songs, to listen to your servant. We are so blessed. Now, Lord, go with us as we go with a love for you and a love for one another that the world will see, and they will know that we've been with the Master. Thank you, Father, for these times together this morning. In Christ's holy name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen.